live events. They can be a great source of information. Unfortunately, they can also be ripe for manipulative selling. And it's that which we're going to take a look at in today's episode. So,
you're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode. Thank you so much for joining me. In this one, we're taking a look at manipulative selling within live events. This is from the wider context of anti-manipulation, sharing or exposing the tools, tricks and techniques which the unscrupulous use to attempt to manipulate us into buying their stuff. And this is very prevalent in some areas of live events. excuse me. There's so much we could go into on this. In fact, I've written a book about it, anti-manipulation. But what I wanted to cover today was take a little look at some of the manipulative techniques that are used in live selling. Because I can't stop the unscrupulous from attempting to manipulate us. But what I can do is show you how it's done, expose what they're doing, so that you can better protect yourself against it. So let's take a look at a few of the ways in which they seek to manipulate us with live events. One of the ways, and this will depend upon the size of the event and the type of audience, but one of the ways is through profiling. Now, have you ever wondered why some really big events offer tiered levels of attendance? There's the basic package, easy for me to say. There's the basic package, which could be very low cost, might even be free. Then they've got higher levels, you know, like the bronze, silver, gold, platinum, diamond, VIP, inner circle, exclusive, super, hyper, deluxe. You get the idea. The list of names is endless. Each one offers increasing levels of goodies, better seating. So once you get to platinum, you're actually sat inside the auditorium. No, you're sat closer and closer. You might get better deals on food and drink at the breaks. You might even get access to the speaker or speakers. Obviously, the higher the tier, the higher the price. Now, obviously, it's a money-making exercise. Of course it is. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. The higher price tickets, in effect, subsidizing the lower price tickets. Nothing wrong with that. However, it is in and of itself a form of profiling. They know that the people who pay the higher priced options have proved that they are prepared to pay. They see value in things, they're prepared to pay. So these are the people it's definitely worth schmoozing with. It's definitely worth treating nicely. It's definitely worth keeping an eye on when it comes to the obligatory offers and special sales. These people have shown they're willing to spend. They're more likely to spend again. So it's worth pampering them a little bit. It's worth offering them their own dedicated space during breaks, where the organizers are better able to mingle with them, find out a little bit more about them, profile them a little bit, and gently nudge them towards making the offers. Profiling doesn't just end there, however. Sometimes, depending on the event, they will actually profile everybody who books in. Yeah, they will profile everyone who books in. They'll check out your social medias, check your posts, check your websites, find out everything they can about you. Profile you as much. Build up a profile of who you are, what you do, what you spend your money on, what you like, what you dislike, all of this sort of thing. Reason being, they can then connect with you a little bit more on a little bit more personal level during the event. Maybe offer you a snack, see how you're getting on, make idle small talk, drawing upon what they've profiled about you, having already identified you as someone who is more likely to be the sort of person who would buy from them. They'll then schmooze you a bit. They'll build rapport with you so that when the sale pitch itself comes, they can swoop in. They've already built rapport. They've built a bit of reciprocity with you because they've been plying you with freebies all the way through. You're more likely to reciprocate. And they can steer the conversation because they know that more about you. And they have identified you as being a suitable target for working, basically. It happens, and it happens more than you'd think. Now, that's just one way. That's just one way. Think about events that you might have been to. The manipulation, it's about getting us into an emotional state. It's about applying time limits to encourage us to make the decision there and then so that we don't miss out. And it's also about reducing our defenses, getting rid of our critical analysis and dulling our decision making so that it's easier for them to get us to buy. I mean, think about this. When do you make better decisions? Do you make better decisions when you're fresh, relaxed, you've maybe had a good night's sleep, you've got time to think about it? Or do you make better decisions when you're tired, when you're exhausted, when there's lots of distraction going on, lots of noise, and you haven't slept much for the past couple of days, and you're just exhausted? Which of those two are you more likely to make good decisions? And which of the two are you more likely to be able to be confused and bounced and influenced? If there's one thing our brain detests, it's confusion. Confusion is a horrible, horrible thing to have, a horrible place for our brain to be. And our mind will grasp at anything to get out of that confusion. So when we're exhausted, mentally and physically drained, confusion is much easier for us to find ourselves in. I mean, let's face it, there is a reason that sleep deprivation is part of any torturer's toolkit. Now, the unscrupulous, they can't torture us. I mean, let's think about it. Outright use of torture, probably even the most inattentive observer is going to notice that. And it does tend to be frowned upon. However, they can use some of those techniques. Let me explain. Have you ever noticed that many of these events, right from the start, full on high energy in your face, bam, high energy right from the outset. As you walk through the door, to lots of whooping and cheering and high-fiving, no doubt. There's loud music blaring away, the lighting's bright. It's almost club style, which is nice because you don't want to walk into a dull, dead room, right? You want a bit of atmosphere. Every time the speakers come on, lots of loud music, bright lights, standing, cheering, dancing. Yay, whoa, whoa. All throughout, the energy's kept high. All throughout, the energy is kept high. Every time there's a break, whoa, up, high, dance, whoa. Which is cool, because you don't want to be at a dull, boring event where you drift off to sleep, right? High energy keeps us enthusiastic, helps us to enjoy it, which is cool, which is great. However, as the day wears on, you're starting to feel a little bit tired. Must be all the info you're taking in, right? Never mind, nothing that good early night, the good night's sleep won't cure. Hang on, when does this event, it's a multi-day event, when does today's one end? Seems to be going on a bit late. Seems to be going past the finishing time. We're going on very late tonight, very long hours indeed, and tomorrow's got a very early start. In fact, by the time you get back to hotel at the end of the first day, have a bite to eat, go to bed, it's time to get up and go back to the next day. Did somebody make a mistake with the schedule? There's not really enough time to get proper good night's sleep here. Well, no, they didn't. You see, the long hours, the draining hours, the high energy, it's all quite deliberate. No matter how many days the event runs. Now, yeah, they'll give you some plausible excuse about, hey, we want to give you maximum value. We want to ensure you all get what you came for. We want to make sure you get out of your own way so you make breakthroughs. It's all nonsense. The reality is the long hours are there. The long hours, the high energy, the constant drain is there to psychologically wear you down, wear down your defenses so that when that inevitable sales pitch comes, and again, there's nothing wrong with selling at events. It's when they manipulate, when they use these tricks and techniques to push you into actually buying, even though you don't want it. So when the inevitable sales pitch comes along, You're worn down, you're knackered, you're exhausted, you can't think critically. It's easier for you to fall into the traps as they manipulate you emotionally. And we'll take a look at that maybe at another episode at some point. They drain you so much that it's like, well, oh, I don't know. I'll buy. I'll sign on the line. Yay, go me. Oh, can I go home then? Yeah, interesting. In fact, here's something you may not have spotted. Many of these big events, the main speaker isn't on the stage a lot of the time. They have other people delivering some of the content, which is great. Hey, you get different perspectives when you hear it from different people. Now, what's actually going on is they know that the whole thing is so draining and so exhausting. The main speaker will pull off stage, have a bit of a nap from time to time so that they are fully rested. They are at the top of their game. So that when the inevitable sales pitch comes, they are not half tired. They are fully awake, fully alert, ready to manipulate you in the most cunning and ingenious of ways to get you to buy their stuff, even though you don't want it, don't need it, can't afford it. nasty stuff, isn't it? And let's think, anchoring is something else that they will use. Anchoring, this comes from the work of Anton Pavlov. Pavlov, that name rings a bell. See what I did there. We can attach emotions or responses. We can attach to triggers, like that whole thing where he fed the dog and rang the bell, fed the dog and rang the bell, fed the dog and rang the bell. After a while, just ringing the bell, the dogs would start salivating because they'd associated the sound of the bell with eating, with food, and salivating. And it happens in so many different areas in life. I think many of it can be positives. I mean, if you think there's probably a tune where if you played a particular tune, it's going to bring back some wonderful, amazing, happy memories. It's anchored. That tune anchors those response. So anchoring is used in these live events. They will anchor different parts of the stage. So when they talk about really sad bits, they'll be in a particular part of the stage, particular sort of lighting, particular type of music. When they talk about action and success and happy and stuff, they'll be in another part of the stage, another lighting. They can move from one to the other. It takes you from feeling down to feeling inspired and yay, motivated. Let's do this. What is it? Buy the stuff. Yay, let's buy the stuff. They'll also anchor in things like, you notice we've mentioned this high energy music. Every time there's a break, the high energy music pumps in, which is cool. Yeah. No worries with that. Livens you up, wakens you up. But you're being conditioned to get up on your feet and move every time the live music starts. Because the music's so loud, you can't sort of sit there and have conversations with your fellow delegates. You have to head out in order to chat. So every time that loud music, you're being triggered to get up and move toward the back. It just happens to be where the sales desk is. Interesting. So that when the big pitch comes, you're already conditioned to get up and move to the back there and then do whatever comes next. They'll use the anchoring on the stage to anchor in. So when they're sort of building up, oh, imagine how awful life will be if you don't change. They're in that bit of the stage where they've told all the sad stories. So they're anchoring in the sadness. And they then move to the part of the stage where they've talked about what happens when you take action and people who've done good things and people who did what they told them to do and had great success. They move to that part of the stage when they have to be talking about go to the back of the room and buy my stuff. Next time you're at one of these events, kind of take yourself out of it and just watch it from a dispassionate point of view. You'll see a lot of these are used in many different events. Many, many different events. Now, obviously, if it's a big price that they're the thing they're selling, obviously lots of people can't afford that. But here's where they get manipulative again. Here's where they get very manipulative. They will tell you stories throughout the event. They'll tell you stories. I mean, obviously, they'll encourage you to put it on credit card. Or they'll say, hey, payment plans are available. Just go to the back, have a chat, discuss the payment plans, which is great. Handy if you want to buy. But it also does something else. It means when they come to make the sale and they're saying, hey, if you're thinking you can't afford it, there are payment plans. Go to the bank, have a chat with them, see what payment. We can arrange payment plans. So there are people up at the back chatting, figuring out if they can afford, sort out a payment plan, which means the seller on stage gets to go, hey, look, lots of people at the back already. Remember, if when it's gone, it's gone. I don't know how many of them are going to buy, but you don't want to miss out. Boom. So more social proof, more evidence that, oh, there are lots of people. I better go as well, so I don't want to miss out. But they'll also seed in things like throughout the event, they'll talk about, hey, Bill, who knew he had to take these, knew he had to do the training. We'll talk about the trainings later, but he knew he had to do them. And he also knew that even though he didn't have the money, he had his pride and joy, his Harley bike, or his beloved sports car, or whatever it is. And he came up to me afterwards and he told me that I knew I couldn't afford the training, but I knew I couldn't afford not to take it. So what I did, I sold my sports car because I knew that everything I learned by taking the courses with you, everything I learned from that is going to earn me so much money, I'll be able to afford to buy 5 sports cars. They just sort of throw that in as just a nice, happy little story, or possibly almost seemingly accidentally telling the story. So, oh, I don't know where that came from. Anyway, where were we? They'll see these sorts of things in, getting you to sort of think, maybe if I sell some stuff, because I'm going to make it all back. There's no guarantees. But they do it in such a way that gets you thinking, oh, if I am serious, maybe I should sell that thing. Maybe I should sell the thing, because I can always buy another one later. Yeah. Or a particularly nasty one that I've seen. They will tell the story about, now I've seen this told about Richard Branson. I've seen it told about a couple of other big successful people. They tell the story about how they wanted to buy something, but they couldn't afford to buy it. So they phoned round 20 friends and they got their friends to lend them the money. With Branson, I think it's when he bought Necker Island, his first island. He couldn't afford it, so he phoned round 20 friends, said, hey, I'm buying this island, got them to put the money in, lend him the money, and he had the money to buy the island. Hey, yay, all you have to do is phone your friends and family and friends and get them to lend you the money. What they don't tell you is that, yes, he phoned these people, but he had created an entire business plan on how Necker Island was going to make money. It was going to return, be a big return on investment. And he basically pitched to these people as seeking investments. They never tell you that bit. So he did a huge amount of work. But anyway, they'll maybe have dropped that story in, or similar stories elsewhere, or even a story about how they did that. And their dear old mom and dad wrote out a check saying, I don't understand what you're doing, but here's some money. I want to see you succeed. They'll then say, okay, hey, here's a bit of fun. Why don't you make a list of 50 friends and family members, contacts, 50 people you know. And then in the break, which is coming up in 5 minutes, tell you what, phone each of them. Just as an exercise, just as a bit of fun for this exercise, phone them and tell them, hey, if I was investing in my future, how would I raise it? How could I raise the money? Or would you be prepared to give or lend me some of the money? Because I'm investing in my future. And you keep phoning until you've got the money from them, however many it takes. Manipulative or what? And I've seen this happen time and time and time again at live events. It happens a lot. One final nasty manipulative one that we'll finish this episode with is where you get the attendees to sell to each other. Now, the way this might work, it's peer pressure. It's getting peer pressure from people who are desperate, which makes it really unscrupulous and devastating. Now, for example, let's say they tell you the supposed full price of this offer. Now, obviously, the full price, nobody ever pays the full price, but they give you the full price. And let's say the full price is £20,000. And they're saying, hey, when you buy it today, you get it for 12,000. Oh, cool. Yeah, this is nice. Then they'll ramp the stakes up. They'll ramp the stakes up. If they figure, based on previous experience, that maybe 10 people are going to buy, they will say something like, you know what? The price is 12,000, but if 20 of you buy today, each of you will only pay 10,000. And if 30 of you buy today, 30 of you, you will each only pay 8,000. Now, already some of those planning to buy at 12,000 are thinking, hey, if I can persuade a couple of my friends, and we get some more people to buy, we might tip it over the 20, I'll get it cheaper. Because with these sorts of things, subtlety isn't always the presenter's friend. And in this instance, it's not. The presenter will make it absolutely clear to everyone. So, just to be clear, it's 12,000, but if 20 of you buy, it becomes 10,000. You know what? If each person who plans to buy persuades just one other person to buy, you all get it for 10,000. Hey, if you fancy yourself as a bit of an influencer, a bit of a persuader, if you each persuade two people to buy, you'll all get it for just 8,000. You will save £12,000. All you got to do, get a couple of other people, convince a couple of other people to buy. Hey, you know what? We've got a break coming up now. We'll see you back here in 10 minutes. Go and have some conversations, people. Really nasty. Really nasty. They might, at the end of the break, say, hey, anyone who's planning to buy, come up front so we can see you all. So getting a bit of social proof in there. And there might be, say, 19 people there. You go, oh, there's 19 of you. Oh, you didn't quite get the 20. It's going to be 12,000, not 10. Unless, hey, if you want to take a couple of minutes, see if you can persuade somebody else. These audience members who have already shown that they are planning to buy, and they can't really not buy because they've said, I'm going to buy. They're now heavily invested in persuading everyone around them to also buy so they can save thousands. But they've only got a couple of minutes to do it. And there's loud, high energy, loud music, lots of frantic attempts at selling. This is hard selling at its worst. And it happens. I've seen this happen at many different events. Very often with exactly the sort of results the manipulative seller is seeking to get. Peer pressure, people in the audience, almost forcing their fellow attendees to buy as well so they can save that bit of money. That's all we got time for this episode. There are lots of other examples of manipulative selling at live events. We'll take a look at some more of those. If that's of interest to you, if it is something that's of interest, do let me know. Send me a message. Drop a line. Let me know if you'd like more of this. Add a comment wherever you're seeing this. Let me know if you'd like more. And in fact, remember, do give us a like, a comment, a share, subscribe. Subscribe, if you're finding this useful, subscribe to it on your favorite platform. Spread the word with your friends. It doesn't cost you anything, doesn't cost them anything. Yeah, it's not like you're selling. Do not worry. But either way, hopefully this has given you an insight into some of the nasty ways in which the unscrupulous out there seek to manipulate us. There are lots more. We'll explore more of these over time in the show. Or, yes, blatant plug, buy the book, Anti-Manipulation. You can find out more at antimanipulation.com. Buy the book. Find out how they seek to manipulate us into buying their stuff. And if you think I'm manipulating you into buying the book, don't buy it. Simple as that. Either way, I hope this has opened your eyes into some of the ways in which we get manipulated in live events. And whatever happens, take care, look after yourselves. I will catch you in the next episode very soon. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.